I was just thinking about the "What's Up" commercials for some reason recently. I'm not really sure why.
I always get those confused with the frog ones. I think that the lizards say "What's Up," but it's not. It's just two friends.
It's just guys. The lizard sells insurance.
No, yeah, the frogs say Budweiser.
That's right.
Yeah.
And but what does the fox say?
He says that it's important to know what the previous owners got up to in your car, and that's why you can call the Carfax Fox.
Oh, God.
And what does Kramer say? when he's up on stage and he's bombing in front of an audience of color.
You mean what does Michael Richards say?
Yeah, Michael Richards say, what was it, 40 years ago, you'd be hanging from a tree with a fork up your ass, I think?
Jesus Christ.
Kramer says, giddy up. Not anything bad like that.
Yeah, yeah. Kramer's a nice guy. Well, I don't know if he's a nice guy. He's kind of a dick.
I feel like I now have met people like Kramer in my life, and I do not want to hang out with
him. No.
I actually had a pretty awkward moment once. I was at an old job of mine. We were in the break room talking about Seinfeld, and everybody was going around and being like, well, I feel like I'm more of an Elaine. And I was like
a Harry Potter house?
Yeah, what your Harry Potter house is, but for Seinfeld. And I was like, well, I've always really felt like the Kramer, you know, like opening up the door and being like, here's my crazy antics. But right as I was saying that, the one black guy in the office walked up and he was like, hold up, what? I was like, not in that way. That's not what I meant. I just meant his zanny antics.
It's funny that he like pops up out of nowhere. It's like that Family Guy sketch where like a white guy is going to tell another white guy a racist joke, and then a black guy like pops out from behind a plant, and he's like, and then the two black guys, nothing happened. It was not a very funny joke.
Kramer says nice things.
I've always seen myself as kind of a George's dad. Mm-hmm. Just like utterly histrionic at all times,
beating your son.
He's crazy in a different way than Kramer. Kramer is just like crazy and somehow mellow, like he just is kind of like sliding through life, and George's dad is crazy and he's always stressed out about it.
Well, the funny thing about Seinfeld is how little they talk about drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kramer is doing a lot of drugs.
Kramer's a drug dealer. That's like a fan theory of how he like is always acting weird, has a bunch of weird friends, has money but no job, and lives in this apartment for a long time.
Where do they live? Is it the Upper East Side?
I think it's Upper West Side. Maybe East Side.
Oh, no. Upper West Side. That just explains it, because that's where fucking weirdos live.
Well, yeah, and also where weirdos live. I always thought he was like a trust fund kid, but if he does deal drugs, he definitely isn't like a street level dealer or even plug. He feels like probably a trafficker or like a distributor or something.
He's
like
definitely doing stuff like that in the show where it's like, oh yeah, I have to go away for a while. I was away on business.
He had those Chinese guys in his dresser.
Or they were Japanese businessmen. But yeah, or the episode where he gets a mail truck to drive an entire mail truck full of recyclables to Michigan to get the 10-cent deposit.
Yeah, that's right.
There were 8 bricks in that truck.
Or when he trafficked in human Cuban cigar rollers.
He basically is dealing illegal drugs in that episode, right? He has a bunch of Cuban cigars and has like cigar parties.
That's actually a thing. It's not Cuban cigars, but that's a thing we just reported on Work Stoppage recently, is that in Brooklyn there was an illegal tobacco sweatshop for a company called Hothead Grabba.
It was insane. It was illegal like pre-rolled like blunts or whatever that they were going to sell in like gray market weed stores, like head shops.
And
it was just like a sweatshop of people rolling this shit with like horrible health conditions.
So you're saying it was a really hot box.
It was. Well, and then they defended themselves on Instagram by saying, we don't actually have employees, we have helpers.
Wow.
We have like Keebler elf style.
Yeah.
Just imagine the Mexican ladies as Keebler elves instead, and you'll feel much better about it all.
My head is spinning trying to square that with their relation to the mode of production.
My head is spinning because I've been exposed to too much loose tobacco. Well, welcome to Beep Beep Lettuce, everybody, your number one news show. I suppose we should talk about the bridge that fell down. Has everybody seen this?
We're kind of late to this, honestly.
We're pretty late to it, but we missed some episodes because half the show was out of town, and I was very tired, and I had a headache.
It's fair.
But yeah, like this, have you seen the conspiracy theories about this? Because I really feel like
it was
the most
a directed energy weapon from Jewish space lasers. George Soros is also involved, to which extent we don't know yet, but we can safely assume.
We know it was hit by a boat, right? Like, it's documented that a boat ran into it and broke it.
There's video of it.
There's video of it happening. Like,
I watched it happen.
There's plenty. I mean, don't get me wrong.
No. The boat was hit by Jewish space lasers.
Okay.
That's why it lost power over and over.
That's what happened.
It was totally not just a string of incompetent errors, probably due to cost-cutting measures and paying the absolute minimum for the lowest amount of labor possible,
and also
skimping at every corner.
Yeah, and also skirting like safety regulations for decades. What they knew that they needed to upgrade the safety of this bridge and just didn't. And it's like these kind of like infrastructural problems are happening like all over the country, where it's just like all of these things are now owned by private companies. Or they're owned by the state, but like don't actually get federal funding. Mm-hmm. And so people don't want to pay for those. Well, they don't want to use tax money for them. So they just like don't get fixed. And so they just fucking collapse.
In a lot of cases where they are owned by the state, they're still managed by private companies in these public-private partnerships that are like the fucking bedrock of American capitalism, because it allows us to have enough infrastructure that we can pretend to be a real country while still making sure that like the maximum amount of profit is stolen from every industry along the way.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of stealing profit, did you guys do your taxes yet?
No way.
Not yet.
Oh, people
just finished mine. So through a little bit of what I like to call crime, I'm getting a ton of money back.
Hell yeah.
I love doing crime and my taxes.
Doing a little bit of what I like to call egregious tax fraud. I mean, look, there's 350 million Americans. What are they going to do? Audit all of us?
Doubt it.
No, they can't even keep a bridge standing.
Probably like 10 people in the office that are just like hitting okay on like 10,000 people's taxes at once. Like, yeah, sure, it looks fine. Whatever. I want to check out.
You got to imagine the IRS is in kind of a bind, because it's like they could go after small fish all day, but that's never going to actually fund the government in any meaningful
way. That's the thing.
Never going to get the taxes.
That's not quite the case. They do actually go after small fish. There are like IRS agents going after like, you know, the big petty bourgeois, the like,
They make examples
between
out of some
1 to
yeah.
10 million net worth, like small business tyrants. But distribution of incomes that the IRS goes after looks like basically the letter U, right? The middle class, they don't really get audited, but the upper class, they got audited, and then the poor, they get audited like crazy. Well, now, that being said, like people in poverty will often just not either. They're just not informed on how to do their taxes, because of course we don't talk about doing your taxes in the American school system, or you know, they might be doing fraud. But like a fucking poor person doing tax fraud, how much are they really going to extract compared to like a billionaire who is using, you know, semi-legal loopholes to avoid paying their taxes?
Well, that's the thing. There's a precipice to the end of that U shape where it turns into a snake, where people become too rich to audit. So like if you're a $5 million a year like franchise owner, sure, they'll audit you. But if you're like Elon Musk, like no fucking way, man. They can barely even get him to show up in court.
That would be really funny if there was just like a 5-month long legal battle where they're auditing Elon Musk. You'd actually find out how much money he has and like how his businesses are doing and shit.
Bro, 5 months in the legal system to audit a guy like Elon Musk would be like a land speed record. Try that's 5 years.
There would be an 8-hour YouTube video essay about how they did it.
It would have more episodes than Chris Chan.
Yeah, and then Hassan would react to it for 24 hours straight.
Chat, this is epic.
Well, speaking of not being so up on the news, in the more recent big thing TM that happened is that Israel bombed a Iranian embassy in Syria and killed like 6 high-ranking Iranian officials, including one of the major military leaders. And so I guess my question is, like, are we going to go to war with Iran? Like,
are we at
war? We specifically requested the opposite of this.
Yeah. Come
Speaking
on, guys.
Of taxes, by the way, it's crazy that this stuff is happening and everybody is just sending all of the money. And the American fucking taxpayers are so fucking cooked. Like, we can't even get a tax strike together for this, for if like you, a literal yeah. Holocaust in yeah, front if, of our if, eyes. Just wagging it in front of it and bragging about it. Yeah, crazy.
If you are a principled anti-imperialist, you also need to be tax fraud maxing.
Well,
you
yeah.
have to.
This is not financial advice and purely for satirical purposes.
I mean, our podcast isn't going to be able to get it together either, but I mean, it would be nice.
No, very true. But I mean, in a country where like your tax dollars are supposedly going to like roads and infrastructure, and we can't
They're
even
not.
Keep the trains they on the tracks, were. We can't even keep the planes in the sky,
can't
and
keep the bridges
we,
up.
We can't keep the bridges up, and we have politicians in states all over the country saying that children getting fed at school is communism.
It
so
is.
Like,
well, it depends. If they're getting fed like rice and lean chicken and broccoli, then yes, it is. Literally, Marx wrote about this. However, if yeah. they're getting fed burgers, right? Thomas Jefferson wrote that in the Bible, the American Bible, by which I mean the Declaration of motherfucking Independence.
Yeah, who we love.
You can eat gruel until you participate in a work study program at the labor mill, and then you get burgers.
That's right.
I mean, that's really where we're at, though, because like, how many states are trying to lower the age that children can work down to like 15 and 14? I think in some southern states and also Wisconsin, they're trying to get it down to 14.
Yeah, we're
like,
going child labor mode.
Why don't you go work at a Hardee's after school 5 nights a week?
It builds character, actually.
It definitely builds something. Means. Extra layers of skin over your grease burns.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
But really, I mean, like, I'm perplexed. Like, so if Israel bombed this Iranian embassy in Syria, they have no choice, basically, but to declare war on Israel at this point, which was definitely the point of the strike.
The fucking strike is a declaration of war. You can't just...
Bombing an embassy?
You don't get to be like, well, we didn't declare it.
Well, we didn't mean to.
the thing is I think Israel did this specifically because if Iran turns around and declares war on Israel, they expect that will force the United States to redouble our involvement in this conflict, when currently the U.S. government is starting to feel a little wobbly about the lack of public support for running a genocide.
Yeah, and they should. I mean, I think that in America, lots of people, I mean, the people who are in Congress are huge cowards. Mm-hmm. And yeah. like, they're feeling the pressure on this, and they want to get reelected. And so I wonder how Republicans are feeling about this, because they want to get reelected too. And I don't think that there's a split here. Like, I don't think there's a red, blue, like pro Israel, pro, like most fucking people are just anti this. And honestly, yeah. they've been like courting literal Nazis for so long that asking them to also support Israel doesn't seem like it's really working.
Well, it's
so,
interesting.
But I don't know. I don't know if I agree with how I don't know if I really agree with you on how many people don't support this, because there are a bunch of fucking bloodthirsty neocons and libs who will go to bat for Israel dragging us into World War III.
Well, and it's also
In the media. Yeah, I just mean like normal people, like I the polling seems to be really bad.
It is, like, but there's also a lot of people who I think when you ask them like, hey, do you think what's going on in Palestine is okay? They're going to be like, oh no, obviously not. That's horrible. But then when you ask them like, how important do you think the election is? They'll start frothing at the mouth. Like, if we don't get the one that I like, America's going to fall apart. And it's like, well, you know, America's already destroying the fucking world. So maybe get your priorities in order.
Are there people who are that like concerned? I don't know.
I think there's people who are like, well, human rights for like minorities in the U.S. gets worse if Trump is elected for some reason, because Joe Biden cares so much about like queer people and people of color.
Yeah,
but I think
Joe
there
Biden's
are people
not
who are
the
like,
most famous racist in America.
But I think there's a lot of people who are like, well, harm reduction. I think there's people.
I just haven't even seen that kind of stuff. I've seen this like, time. Like, I feel like it's been that way every election for like the past 20 years, mm-hmm. but I just feel like it's significantly less because of like the stark evil that's happening all around us.
Yeah. It kind of feels like people, like before people would be like, it's not the lesser of two evils. And now they're like, well, it literally is the lesser of two evils, but it's still less evil. So vote for Joe Biden.
1% I completely
disagree with that.
You must vote for
Baphomet
over Mephistopheles.
No. Like, here's the thing. If you genuinely believe in harm reduction, I hate to say, Trump is too much of a coward to stake his entire reputation on World War III. So unless Joe Biden and his regime can start World War III before Trump gets elected, which is looking like a distinct possibility here,
yeah.
I really don't see Trump going to bat that much for Israel. Like, and you gotta think about it.
What do you mean?
Because Trump is an NYC landlord. Right, he knows how to deal with these people. I'm just saying,
but he moved the thing to Jerusalem, the
capital.
That's marketing. Trump is a marketing genius. That doesn't move the needle one way or another.
He's super pro Israel just as much as any other of these fucks.
Oh, sure, but he's not pro destroying his reputation by dragging the world into World War III so that Israel can, you know, make some territorial gains.
But they're both parties are just marketing firms. Biden thought he could get away with this without destroying his reputation, and he was wrong. And Trump's too fucking hubristic and stupid to realize that the same thing applies to him. So he's just going to get in there and be like, I can make the American people love doing a genocide. And then like 2 years later, everything's going to be in the crapper again. Because the middle of every presidency, they always have a terrible approval rating because presidents suck.
I would be willing to wager. I know this sounds insane. I would be willing to wager that, like, if Trump gets in,
okay,
it's probably going to be slightly worse specifically for Palestinians than it has been under Biden.
Slightly worse.
Sorry. Slightly better.
See, that's the thing. It's such a thin margin. I can't even remember which side I'm arguing against.
I would take the bet if there was a metric, but there isn't going to be.
Like, less people being murdered, like, less bombs being dropped.
I don't think that there's any chance the president has anything to
do with this. Because I genuinely think Trump is insane enough and believes in himself enough as, like, the deals guy that he will go in and, like, try to force Israel to like, make a deal.
He's gonna give them the same amount of like bombs and support. He's just gonna make them agree to have WWE in Tel Aviv.
Yeah. I really think that this is too big for anybody right now. Like, this is like a long term CIA project. Like, since the founding of the CIA,
for sure.
Yeah,
and founding of Israel.
Yeah,
this literally, and this has been like, okay, then we're gonna take over Iran. Like, this is our outpost in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
We are now taking over and there's nothing stopping us. Like, I think we are now free and clear, and there is no chance America doesn't go whole hog. The only reason people are even suggesting that it wouldn't happen is because they were scaremongering about Iran having nukes.
So I still maintain that I genuinely believe that Joe Biden is like the strictly worse option because on the domestic front,
who cares?
Managed decline rather than quantitative easing back into overdrive, just literally for his own fucking hubristic goals. And then on the foreign policy side with Trump, I genuinely think he's insane enough to try to make a deal. But
to your point, I'm
trying to put forward all possibilities here. To your point, the Fed just announced they are moving ahead with rate cuts, which indicates on a macroeconomic level that the economy might be cooling down. We might have the recovery might be stalling.
What recovery?
Of what?
I'm talking macro guys.
I get what you're saying. Regular
people, we don't feel recovery. Like, the Biden regime has been disastrous for working Americans.
Right, we all
agree on that.
But a bunch of finance pros on Wall Street's Tamagotchi pets have been doing really good.
Yeah. So the voodoo macro economists, right, from their perspective, rate cuts mean the economy might be cooling off, that we can't sustain these high interest rates any longer, and we need money to be a little cheaper for the big guys, the big boys, to borrow. right? That's that. So,
okay.
So I think depending on how poorly or how okay that goes, the Biden regime might just drag us into fucking World War III before the election even happens. And then all bets are motherfucking off.
You know, that is the ultimate way to juice the economy. If like lowering interest rates don't work, just like start a war.
Exactly. Starting wars is exactly my point.
It's the oldest and sometimes most effective form of market manipulation because if you win, you get a whole new market.
That's true.
If you're, it's like 2 a.m. and for some reason you're awake one night this summer and they're like, ground troops, U.S. ground troops have just landed in Iran. Go on Robinhood, open up your Robinhood app and set a limit order for the next morning to buy call options on the following. Lockheed Martin, Raytheon,
right.
Northrop Grumman. This is not financial advice and purely parody satire. I'm just saying, like, that's the thing. You know, I talk about this almost every episode now because it's like we're all fucking steeped in it. But like the sports betting, the poker, the crypto, the fucking Robin Hood options trading. It's like it's the youth in America is having this sort of like coming of age moment where they see it's like impossible to even live a normal like middle class life just by working hard at a job and having a career. So they're all just hyper gambling. So honestly, if we go to war and you like can figure out a way to hyper gamble on the stock market, it's fucking, it probably feels dirty, but it might be your, it might be your only chance to make a few bucks.
Interesting note about that. Do you know what one of the strongest predictors for military activity over the next 24 hours is? Takeout orders in and around Washington, D.C.
Really?
Because people are like in the smoke-filled rooms eating fucking like takeout delivery food, plotting the war. Wow.
We got the DoorDash drivers doing insider trading.
Apparently,
they should.
One of the biggest events where this happened was the night before Iraq invaded Kuwait. There was an enormous soar in pizza orders around the area of Langley.
So cool.
If you map out important government buildings like, you know, the Department of Defense and their offices and the CIA and all of the different, like, you know, maybe Fort Bragg, Fort Liberty, whatever. You just find out like, oh, if, you know, there's been 35% more DoorDash orders this weekend than usual and it's not a holiday, maybe we're at war.
So fucking cool.
I mean, DoorDash drivers should have a union anyway, but they should also just have like a secret network where they share this kind of information and then like pool their tips and like buy stocks, like Todd was saying, to just try to gain the market.
Or they could strike to not deliver the fucking pizzas and
holy
the war
shit,
effort.
What if they just did that?
For want of a nail, you know, the general had no horse.
The FSB is sabotaging American DoorDash drivers. It's Russian interference.
It's like when those Italian shipping union members figured out that the supposed aid packages being sent to Ukraine from, I think it was from the UK and Poland, were actually full of guns and not full of food. They were like, well, we're not working today, boys. They walked off the
beast.
Job.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
love it.
You can do shit like that. Like, so...
Yeah, I'm imagining it's like idea. It takes like weeks longer to get to go to war because they have to like send their assistants out to get the pizza instead of having it delivered.
So as long as we're talking about like special forces guys and covert agents and stuff, one of the big stories that's been coming out recently is that there's like a whole sequel to Havana Syndrome where U.S. agents who have been working in and around Ukraine and some who have gone covert in Russia, I believe, have been coming back with mysterious illnesses and like reporting headaches, fatigue, dizziness. And the U.S. government did like a cursory investigation into this and found that there was really nothing suspicious going on, which is unusual because, I mean, even the federal government, even though this is bullshit, they like to pretend to take this seriously. And then one of the guys who's involved in the investigation went on 60 Minutes and said that if my mother had seen what I saw, she would say, it's the Russians, stupid. Which is just like, this is a very Joseph Smith kind of like, you just have to take my word for it type of like information. Yeah, what is it?
My mom.
Yeah, does he mean like your average dumbass off the street would think it was the Russians, therefore it is? Like, is that what that means?
If my mother saw what I saw, and she's dumb as fuck, my mother's pretty fucking stupid, sixth grade education and married three jackasses in a row, she would still know. No, it was the Ruskies.
You know what I think would be the leading indicator that we were going to be okay if they did they did another Red Dawn, right? Like Red Dawn came out, like right at the tail end of the Cold War. Mm-hmm. You know, like when they wanted to keep the hysteria up, but it was winding down. I think if they remade Red Dawn again. That would be
a third time.
They remade it about North Korea, I think.
I know. If they remade it again about Iran or something, that would be our indication that like, oh, wait a second. Okay, so this shit is winding down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. 2012 does feel like a peak time of like North Korea is going to murder all of us.
Yeah.
So fear-mongering. You're saying that the American political cycle is basically started every time there's a terrorist attack, either perpetuated directly by or allowed to happen by our intelligence community. And then that typically lasts until it reaches its crescendo. And then immediately after that, we release a piece of propaganda that is so over the top that everybody just laughs at it. And we're like good for 8 to 10 years. And then the whole thing starts anew and like, boom, 9/11 again.
9/11 again.
Lusitania. Boom, the main, you know.
Yeah, we are overdue for another kind of 9/11, I think.
I'm
not saying.
Be careful. I'm just saying.
You know, it's entirely possible that, there's maybe all sorts of conspiracy theories about the bridge collapse, but. You know, Baltimore, while it's not the biggest shipping hub in the United States, like if you wanted to fucking attack, like a bunch of ships are fucking stuck in Baltimore Harbor now and stuff's getting rerouted. The thing is, like, I think the biggest thing that's getting rerouted is like foreign car imports. So it's like it's not exactly like an infrastructure attack that's going to cripple the United States. But, yeah. You know, like imagine there were like 5 or 10 like quote unquote fuck ups like that all over the United States. Like, yeah, you know, that would be like some real like black ops asymmetrical warfare shit. And you could kind of fuck up the United States doing that kind of shit.
Yeah, it'd be hard to even notice it happened because you'd be like, oh yeah, people made mistakes and didn't fix the infrastructure for like 50 years. Like, how would you even know it was actually a terrorist attack?
Exactly. And that's the perfect plausible deniability.
Yeah. I feel like it's really weird how like, everything, like, I don't think I've seen Noah. I always try to make sure I see some sort of evidence or some sort of something that like points in the direction of foul play before I start assuming. But it's crazy how much stuff happens that it's just like, yeah, this could definitely have been somebody pulling something wild. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like the Boeing whistleblower. Everyone was just like, obviously they killed this guy.
Yeah, they killed that guy.
And I feel like that's a different temperature. And I don't know. I don't think it's just me. It feels like we are simmering on like this like high vibration in the past. Like like this past year. Like everyone, especially since the turning up the fire of the Palestinian genocide. Mm-hmm. Like, cool. I feel like everyone is like on real high alert of just like,
I mean, I said
America's
on,
about to fall down.
Mm-hmm. I said on like this show on like what, October 8th or like whatever the next episode we did after October 7th, that like it is highly plausible to me that Israeli high command and intelligence knew that an attack was being planned and wanted to use it as pretext to do a brutal and disproportionate counterattack and essentially ethnic cleansing and to accelerate their goals in that region. But I get what you're saying as far as like the tension is high, that feeling's all around. I almost feel like the more and more these days, the more people I talk to like my older family members who say the same thing, like, oh, it feels like something's going to happen. At the same time, I'm like, maybe it's like a media thing. Maybe we're supposed to, with it, or like you know, the propaganda machinations want us to feel that way, when in reality, it's like nothing is really happening more than at any other time. It's kind of just, it's just getting blasted into our brains more these days.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I feel like we've been riding that wave of things getting blasted at us more and more, but we've kind of almost plateaued in terms of like how much shit they can shove in front of our faces at any one time. Like, we're already watching short form videos that are two videos together on the screen at the same time. There's not really a lot more that they can jam in front of our fucking eyeballs.
I just think there is something very, like, we haven't seen
sus vibes like this
we haven't seen, we haven't seen a genocide so clearly. Like I'm seeing video I don't even want to see. Like, I'm not looking for people getting murdered on my timeline, but like it's
they
just
pop
like,
up anyway.
It happens, and I think a lot of people are seeing on Instagram and Twitter just like, oh, they killed innocent civilians. Like, this is a picture of a first aid truck in Iran with a hole through it from the missile. Or are they just some World Kitchen van
like
just got, like,
people
bombed? And it's like,
they just destroyed a big, like, another big hospital, right?
They're admitting like it. They don't care. I don't think we've seen depravity on this level this visibly. Yeah. Like,
I think it also follows
I
up,
I think
too.
There is something that's driving Americans absolutely crazy a little bit more than usual.
I feel like it also started with the pandemic too, where it's like basically every average person is like, oh, the government will just like do a like soft genocide on like the poor and unwell and old people by just like not doing anything to prevent the spread of COVID, and like millions of people will die. And both parties are like, yeah, everything's fine. I feel like that started it, where they were like, oh, the government has no real interest in like going out of its way to make you not die. So what else do they not have an interest in?
Well, even beyond that, I mean, like, just the media circuit. Like, so, you know, the Bush years, I remember the way the media was. Like, it was already insane. It's been insane in America our entire lives. And then the Obama years, you know, it became in vogue to basically be like a John Stewart type or a John Oliver type guy.
Like, softly criticize the bad things that America
does. Like, but toe the liberal line. And then literally like 2020, it was like shit. Well, actually it was before that, because like the same veracity or the same ferocity of the media during the Trump era just immediately got directed towards COVID. In 2020, and I think that it's basically been ramping up exponentially since then. But at this point, there's not like a COVID. There's not a current thing. We don't really have like a current thing, right? Like, we on this podcast are very aware of the current things, but your average American, Israel, Palestine has faded from their like the bridge. Already out of their minds. like they don't care about that shit unless it directly affects them, unless they're within like 100 miles of Baltimore. Like, I feel like we're all at this high level of hysteria, but without a current thing to direct that hysteria towards.
Well, that's, I think, like, directly affecting us, because I feel like anybody who has that, there's a lot of people who care about the Palestinian genocide, but like, there, that's a specific milieu.
Yeah,
of like actively political thinking people who are like online a lot.
Yeah, normies don't care about that shit anymore. They cared about it a little, and now they don't care about it at all.
Well, we've all had our fucking brains scrambled by hype cycle after hype cycle of the most insane fucking shit you've ever heard in your fucking life. Like 20 fucking years ago, Javier Milei would have been 2 years worth of stories. And now the guy can't even get any fucking air in the press, despite the fact that he's an elected head of state who's basically an internet crypto bro who thinks his dog is an ancient Roman legionnaire soldier who gives him advice. So he cloned him a bunch of times.
Okay. When you describe him like that, I kind of get the hype.
Well, but the hype is not there. That's the thing. You'd think there would be more hype, but like, we've all had our fucking brain scrambled over and over again. And I think it's because the United States in particular has been undergoing like a crisis of power, but not in the sense of like a revolution that you would traditionally think of. And not even really in the sense of like a bourgeois revolution, like where a monarchy becomes a republic for a little while, or something like that. Because
you're
we're
saying
already,
it's a crisis of soft power.
Well, yeah, we're like a crisis of soft power is a great way to put it, because when the traditional liberal order started to fracture during the Obama presidency and also a little bit before, and then Trump came and like punched a gigantic hole in what was fucking left. There was all of a sudden this huge crisis of identity for basically everybody who controls a position of power in the United States, because the rules had suddenly changed. The social order was a little bit different, and they could no longer rely on just going to all of their little old money clubs and making sure that they put the nickel in the machine and it spit out an exploitation ticket. So the thing that they have to do now is they're all like grappling over who's going to control this or that section of the economy. They're trying to partition the world like they're the fucking Catholic Church discovering the Caribbean and South America, you know, 400 or 500 fucking years ago, but they don't really know how to do it. And like the United States, if we were a better country, would be eligible right now to have some kind of like cool revolution. But instead, we just have like a long series of soft power, not exactly a coup, handoffs of different forms of power over the economy and the laws and the
judiciary.
We can't
even organize a strike.
No, well, I mean, shit, we might be able to 5 years from now because the Teamsters and the UAW finally got their shit together. But like, it might be too little too late. Who fucking knows, man? Like, damn.
Yeah, I think you can also sort of trace a lot of this, like the brain scrambling, as like an escalation of media engagement. Because when Todd was talking about like the Bush years and then Obama and then Trump, it's like you can sort of look at like a trend of how your average person like engages with media and like quote unquote the news.
Yeah.
Because back in the Bush years, it's like there was a lot of crazy shit going on, but you kind of had to follow it by like watching cable news, reading a newspaper, or like watching, I don't know, The Daily Show or something.
Or,
so I think there
was 538. Or listening to like Bill O'Reilly on radio.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there were more average people who were like vaguely aware of like what the government was doing, but they just like didn't expect, like it was like a show you had to turn on. You had to be like, let me turn on the cable news and watch it. And then you started having blogs, and there's more people that were like, I'm going to read blogs about the news and like politics and stuff. And then at a certain point, like this is like really emblematic of the Obama era, I think, especially because the politics were more optimistic, is like people going on Twitter and just being like, Obama's cool, going on Facebook. You know, Obama is like the first Facebook
president.
Well,
your like favorite bands would be like, we're playing Obama rallies.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, the Strokes or the National or whatever. Like,
yeah. So you had that, and then it's like
it became a product to consume.
Yeah. Imagine you wake up, it's 2008. Your friends are texting you on their flip phone. Hey, man,
I didn't have
wake
a
up
phone.
We're going to the Obama rally. The Strokes are playing with the Black Keys. You look up and your bedroom is a small CRT display and your Xbox 360 is on the menu for Halo 3. There's a bottle of Mountain Dew Code Red on your bedside table. And your parents are still together. There's a poster for the movie Avatar coming soon on your wall. And things are good.
I'd be like, shit, I'm going to short the LIBOR number.
Yeah.
I'm going to short Goldman Sachs.
Yeah,
last night you watched episodes of The Boondocks and Chappelle's Show that loaded you up with jokes you're not allowed to repeat, but will at school tomorrow.
No one cares.
Yeah. South Park is still good.
You can't be canceled.
That's wrong. Casa Bonita ass motherfucker.
The Simpsons is already bad. It's Family Guy is actually really good.
Again, disagree.
Yeah, again, disagree.
Family Guy's never been bad. You all are wrong.
Family Guy is
go
goodness.
Watch. Go on YouTube and watch Family Guy funny moments after taking 7 whippets.
I think that last part is really important. Yeah. We're not going to do that.
Also, you need to be very friendly with the Hat Man on Benadryl.
I thought the Hat Man was Benadryl.
What is that?
Apparently people on Reddit are abusing Benadryl, and they see a creature they call colloquially the Hat Man. And apparently the Hat Man is racist and transphobic.
Oh, no.
What, to everyone?
People are posting like Arrowhead style trip reports on like the Benadryl subreddit where they're like, the Hat Man was like racist or sexist or transphobic to me.
This is
this is like an egregore fucking like imaginary thing that a bunch of people have seen, like a similarly shaped creature that has been dubbed the Hat Man.
This is almost certainly the same as shifting. Like, yeah. it's just a bunch of children just lying to each other for fun. Yeah.
There's also something very telling. Like, I've read about this before, that it's like what you hallucinate has a lot to do with like the culture you grow up in. Like in America, if you have like schizophrenia and you hear voices or some kind of like oral hallucination like that, it's really common that they're like negative or critical.
It sounds like Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. But there's other cultures where people hear voices and it's like, it's not as like sort of negative and horrible as our culture. So the voices are more like friendly and uplifting and stuff. And
yeah,
I feel like
it's like, what up? And they have a good time.
Yeah. I was trying to hear positive voices.
I was just chilling when the Hat Man came around. I offered him a hit off my joint. When he stepped out of the shadows, it was Waluigi.
It was a cool hat.
It was a great guy. I like that guy.
So I feel like there's something similar going on where it's like people, these are probably all kids on social media who are constantly like seeing dunks on transphobic people or racist people or whatever. So it's like if they see something unsettling, it's also like, oh, it's also transphobic and racist, because that's what weird shitty people say on my phone all the time.
It's the bad guy. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot about what you're primed for. Like when I was younger, the big thing in a lot of like in a lot of movies when they depicted drug use was like people would see like bugs crawling all over their skin. So I had a friend who did a bunch of Benadryl because we didn't have any real drugs. I wasn't interested in doing a bunch of Benadryl, so I just smoked some fucking weed.
Like a normal person.
Like a normal person. And they were on the bed, like crawling around. They're like, I got spiders all over me. I got spiders. And I'm like, you know, I thought to myself while I was trying to make them feel better, I'm like, you probably do think you have spiders all over you, but you probably don't think that because of the Benadryl. You probably think that because you know you've taken drugs and you feel weird and you've seen this kind of thing in a movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
so
what
all those
doing.
Anti-drug PSAs were like, they're like, this is your brain on this, or they told you in health class where like how somebody peeled their skin with an orange or they saw spiders. That was all pre-programming you to have a bad reaction to drugs.
Yes.
You need to deprogram yourself so that you have a good reaction to drugs.
To be fair to the anti-drug commercials, I have smoked weed that made me go flat Stanley on the couch.
And it was
chill.
Sick.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It rocked.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. It's just like people are ludicrously crazy in a way that I feel like they haven't been in a while. I don't know.
There's like nothing good happening. Well, it feels like there's nothing good to like look forward to or like take solace in. It's just like you can take solace in entertainment slop or Funko Pops or gambling or like war,
or specifically the punishment of your enemies.
Yeah. That's why I'm really into crypto, because it's just like, it feels really low stakes and it's just stupid gambling with some of the stupidest people you've ever seen in your life. And and it's just like fun and really stupid. And like, you can also make money doing it.
Or
and
lose
it's the
a lot
same
of money.
For sports betting. Nah, I don't lose money in crypto.
Nice.
Good.
No, I already made enough money that like I would have to do something incredibly stupid to lose all my money.
No way.
Why would you do that?
Why would you?
We're talking about trading shitcoins and crypto. You're not doing anything stupid at all.
Exactly. Smartly.
There is so many. I know so many people who are like addicted to sports betting right now.
Oh yeah,
like, yeah.
It's very addicting. It's like our brains cannot handle like
you
this
simply
kind of
can't.
Stuff.
This is why
which
you have
is
to
crazy
just play
to me because the EV,
Balacho.
The EV is like so much lower on sports betting than crypto. Like literally last night, somebody made a new dog coin and like probably dozens of new millionaires were just minted out of the blue.
It's so insane.
It's so fake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty good for an economy where everybody's on fucking drugs. That's another big thing I've been thinking about recently, is I think a big part of the vibe fuck up and the reason we're seeing so much shit happening is because drug use across all demographics, class, age, race, you know, whatever, religion is actually pretty constant. A lot of people don't realize this, but like rich people and like wealthy white WASPs do drugs at pretty much the same rate as everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so with the increasing prevalence of drug use in the United States, where we have a meth epidemic right now happening concurrently with our opioid epidemic. And the
yet another Nazi similarity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, another big Nazi similarity. But also, like, those drugs don't become popular just because poor people use them. So I think a lot of people who are in control of, like, really large institutions probably have much bigger drug problems than they did 8 to 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, no, absolutely. It feels like no
have
one...
you ever seen that video of Hitler at the Olympics just fucking tweaking off?
He looked like a like one of those little dogs that just shakes all the time.
That's how I look when I watch gaming videos on YouTube.
You're watching that's Twitch how just
I,
shaking?
That's how I look when I watch the YouTube channel Brick Technology and their Lego contraptions.
That's a great channel.
That is a great channel.
I feel like that's
I'm just rocking back and forth.
I feel like every congressperson is like that. Like if you should like you really get close to them and they weren't like they hadn't taken their Klonopin and weren't ready for it.
But it's probably cocaine.
Like when they chase down AOC and she's freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a dual thing happening there because I think a lot of the old-timey ones who were like born in the, you know, fucking 50s or whatever, who are ancient now, they probably weren't on drugs for a terribly long time. But as you get older, doctors just give you drugs. Like really hardcore drugs sometimes to keep you alive or to keep you out of pain or to keep you mobile or whatever. And then on top of that, all of the like weird Dan Crenshaws and AOCs and Lauren Boberts, you know, they have some kind of like millennial speedball, Gen X speedball thing going where it's like, yeah, a Klonopin and an Adderall and maybe a little bit of cocaine and some whiskey here and there.
Like, and then like five iced coffees a day. I forget if we actually like, talked about this on the podcast or if it was just like in the notes, but there's like a story about how the Trump White House was just like people were like drunk or high constantly. Like there was just like a doctor who was handing out like what was it? Adderall? It was Xanax, I think, right? Like
Xanax.
You didn't
but
need a prescription.
Adderall
you could
was
just...
also super common. Yeah.
But the thing is, that was also the case with the Bush White House, the Obama White House, and currently the Biden White House. So it's like that article coming out only serves to be like, okay, well, it's been long enough that we can talk about it. And then the Biden White House is going to be the same thing.
It's also
when we're like 3 years into the next Trump term, an article like that's going to come out about Biden, how he was on fucking Quaaludes and benzos and fucking Vyvanse.
It's just like when the CIA discloses stuff and they're like, we did this 25 years ago, but we don't do it anymore.
We never do this. Yeah, the idea that like the White House, I mean, like it's the idea that the White House culture changes by president is laughable.
That's the point of the deep state. It's the same people running the show.
There's a continuity of government. Like that's the whole point.
Yeah. The real president's name is Bill Burns, director of the CIA.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, especially when you read about how many hours they're usually working. It's like nobody is staying up for 20 hours at a time.
Sober.
And not doing a bunch of drugs.
Yeah, you can't stay up that late on iced coffee and frappuccinos. You can't stay up that late without taking a little red pill or a little orange and white pill or whatever color amphetamines they give you when you're a White House staffer. I don't know. It's probably fucking rainbow colored.
They probably make you take it.
See, this they probably hold you down and jam it in your mouth and then massage your throat like you're a horse.
This is why I'm like so religious about keeping my tolerance down for basically all substances other than alcohol. Like my tolerance for Adderall, super low. My tolerance for caffeine, super low. Because if you overdo it, then you kill your tolerance. But like if I go beyond my like baseline, which is one caffeine drink a day, I'm up till like 4 a.m. and I can be productive until 4 a.m. But if I were to like be abusing caffeine all the time and doing that all the time, my tolerance would go up and I wouldn't be able to have like a night here and there where I can fucking grind that late.
I've been feeling that recently because I've been getting cluster headaches, which I used to get every few months. They're awful. But I used
Are yours sinus related?
No, I don't think so. I think I mean, they're neurological. All cluster headaches are neurological, which means that Advil and Tylenol do fucking nothing. They help zero. And it's just it happens on one side of your face. It's periocular. It's around your eye and behind your eye. And it just feels like someone's stabbing you in the eye. Basically,
You and I should talk about this outside the show because I have experience with this.
Well, I cut down on my caffeine intake and they've been going down in intensity and in frequency. So I just drink one cup of coffee in the morning now.
Do you look at screens? Do you look at screens before bed?
I try not to, but I'm often reading a book while the TV's on in the background. Yeah.
But like, do you look at your phone? Do you look at your phone in a dark room frequently?
Oh, no. When I go to bed, I go to bed. I look at my phone on the couch while I'm watching TV.
But like, are you doing that right up until you go to bed?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, that's what's causing your ocular headaches.
We all do it.
Yeah, we all do it, and that is literally, like, I have had years of struggling with this and getting into and out of the habit in cycles, and that is what's doing it.
Well, I cut down on caffeine and changed nothing else, and it worked, bitch. So
because the caffeine is causing you, the cutting down on caffeine causes you to stay up less late,
yeah,
and be on your phone less right before bed.
Mm. Yeah. Wait, looking at your phone when you fall asleep gonna give you bad headaches? Because that's bad news for future me.
Like, I mean, if you're not if you're doing it all the time, mm-hmm, and you're not getting the headaches, you're probably fine. But yeah, if you're like predisposed to get, like, if I just look at a phone, like in a dark room, the contrast, the like brightness contrast, it wears out your eyes, and you wake up and your eyes are sore and tired the next day. And
it's,
if you're
so
really
true,
abusing the shit out of it, and you're doing a cycle of like day after day after day, that's when the cluster headaches come in.
Oh, I've been working on quitting my telephone.
Hell yeah. Based.
It's been pretty good, actually. Just being like leaving the house without it and just like taking a Walkman or in a book or whatever.
Based.
Just being like, don't have that. It's been pretty good, actually. I suggest everybody try it. You don't actually need it. What do you need it for?
I'm going to start fucking taking my computer with me if I leave my phone at home. I swear to God. No.
What are you going to need a computer for?
Well,
in case someone needs to reach me.
Who cares? They can wait.
For me, it's like lately when the crypto market's in good, it's just like the amount of money is directly proportional. The amount of money I make is directly proportional to the amount of my day that I spend staring at a screen, which is like not healthy, but I am very happy to know that like, it is not going to go on forever. I'm just going to get my money, and then as soon as the market shits the bed, I'm going to leave with my money.
Nice.
And then you'll quit your phone.
That's right. Well, I mean, like, I do shit. Like, yesterday, I was at the firehouse. I didn't look at my phone for, like, 4 hours because I was fucking, like, throwing ladders and loading equipment and shit like that. Now, granted, during those 4 hours, I missed, like, 1,000x crypto play that my friends were fucking texting me about. But... yeah. I felt very healthy to not look at my phone for 4 hours.
1,000 times. What was this? That new dog coin?
That was that
else?
New dog coin. I could have been a fucking millionaire, but I decided to put the phone down.
What did you have to do? Just buy some coin?
I had it in my fucking exchange window. And I was about to fucking press buy. And I was like, you know, I'm going to head to the firehouse. And then I looked at it this morning and I'm like, the money I put in, I was about to put in $600 and it was at like 3.5 million market cap. It ran to 90 million market cap. So whatever 3.5 into 90 is the multiplier I would have made on that. So okay. Yeah, let's
25, almost 26.
So whatever 26 times 600 is how much money I would have made.
26,
15 and a half grand.
Yeah, so I would have made 15 grand if I hadn't
that would have
decided
pushed you over
to put
into
the phone.
A millionaire?
No. I'm exaggerating when I say 1,000x.
But if you put how much you'd have to do 100 times more? And if you put in $6,000 instead of 600.
There it is.
Or no, 60,000 to get 2 million?
That's a lot.
Right?
I don't do numbers like that.
You've been playing Balatro?
Yeah. Huh? If you 60 grand times 26 is
Balatro. Balatro is the new poker-based roguelike deck builder that everyone's talking about.
That's fun.
I've been playing a game called Bling Bling, which is a roguelike roulette game.
You gotta get on Balatro.
Balatro's fun
as
hell.
It's so fun.
Oh, I'm trying to get onboarded to this new game called Fantasy Top, which is it's not about getting top. Before you say it, Fantasy Top is this thing where basically you can collect digital trading cards of Twitter personalities. And then you build your deck.
There?
What's up?
Are
you have to have like 50,000 followers, which I just hit.
Are you on there?
They're onboarding me.
Oh,
but,
okay,
nice.
Because I have like actually surprisingly good Twitter metrics. So I would be like,
surprisingly,
I I wouldn't be like the fucking like Blue Eyes White Dragon of this game, but I would probably be like a good workhorse card when they make a card of my Twitter account. But but yeah, basically you make a deck of Twitter posters and then you enter your deck into tournaments and they do battle based on how well that poster's tweets do.
It's an auto battler. Oh,
it's an auto battler, yeah.
That's wild. That's
no. Balatro is like you start with a regular deck of cards and then you try to make good poker hands, but then you get like special jokers that do wild shit and you can like copy out cards and like get multipliers for your score, and then like you can like end up having a deck that's like all aces and you're just doing five of a kind flushes or whatever and then just like breaking it.
That's really cool. Rocks.
It's a fun
to check that out. My mom used to call me her special joker.
that makes sense.
It's nice.
But anyway, yeah, that's a little video game. What was the name of the Twitter card game?
It's fantasy.top is the URL.
Fantasy.
But if you want to play, you gotta have like a MetaMask wallet and you have to be on
You know I do.
It's on fucking is it on Blast? Well, it's on testnet right now. So
it's
not
dang old.
It's not deployed. It's basically like you buy the trading cards using testnet Ethereum, which it's in beta.
Are
basically.
They NFCs? NFTs?
They're NFTs. So like so how you could get like a common, uncommon, or rare. Well, it's basically free right now because like you get onboarded into the testnet and you get some free testnet ETH. But when it's deployed, there was a protocol kind of like this last cycle.
As long as it's a real game.
What's up?
As long as it's a real game.
Yeah, it's a real game.
Competition.
Have you played it?
Me?
Yeah.
My deck is entered into in the current tournament, but like I have low level cards because I just did the bare minimum to get onboarded. For all our listeners who are like just turning the podcast off right now. I'm so sorry.
It sounds similar.
I'm sorry.
To like,
I'm interested.
It sounds similar to playing like Runeterra. Just
this
you're
is a
using.
Bonus. Are we doing a bonus?
No, it's regular.
Fuck.
No, the listenership is dropping off.
Oh damn it. Sorry. We talked enough about how bad everything is. Well, sometimes this is a fun games corner.
Yeah, we like to do fun games. Well, let's do one more story before we get out of here because this is something that I wanted to get your opinion on. So I've seen a few different viral posts go around and I eventually found an article about what's apparently the world's first transparent car. So,
I saw this post. This looks really insane.
So they've unveiled a car that basically looks like those prison televisions that you see sometimes that are see-through so that nobody can hide like a knife in them.
That's cool as fuck.
What is the point of this? Everybody can see if you have a gun like or weed.
Why is it a dang old like 40s
car? Oh, that's the first world's first transparent car from 1939.
Oh, okay.
There's
Why is this car transparent? But is there a new one now?
Yeah, there's some new ones. I guess I linked an article to the world's first transparent car. I guess there was one from the 30s, which I did not know about. But there's some new transparent car that they keep trying to make happen.
That's crazy that they were like pre-World War II on their fucking Game Boy Color shit.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Oh, here we go. The world's first transparent car launched.
Steam it. What the hell is Steam it?
Okay. But what is it made out of?
Steam it.
It looks like it's made out of acrylic.
Is there actually an article about this or just tweets?
They're not going to manufacture this, right?
Bro, imagine getting Roadhead in the transparent car.
So yeah, this Daily Mail article
Fantasy
says
top.
That it's the future of road safety and it showcases the next generation of automotive safety technology. Oh, I get it. So it's a floor show model meant to show off all the new airbags and stuff.
Oh, okay.
They're so not manufacturing something like this.
I thought the idea was that eventually everybody would want a transparent car.
Yeah, I think I read a tweet about it and it said it's some kind of glass and I was just like, glass? Does that mean if you get in a car accident your car shatters and like cuts you to death? Like,
there's
what are we talking
already
about
too here? Much glass in my car, thank you very much.
Yeah.
No, I think this is cool, but honestly, like, have you seen the way that the average American be keeping their car? Like, that shit's gonna get dirty real fast.
Maybe that's the idea.
That shit's not gonna be transparent for long. That shit's gonna fill up like the fucking like meme of the jar with the My Little Pony figurine inside it.
Ugh. Yeah, they just want my car to be the world's worst ad for Arby's. Just dozens of discarded bags. Horsey sauce like stains everywhere.
Chick-fil-A wrappers everywhere. Just like full up to your to your shins.
Just sloshing around with Zin spit.
I guess this is kind of a trend that people have done every once in a while, because I also just found the world's first transparent Lada, which kind of looks badass.
Hell yes.
It's a Lada.
So is there like no...
A Lada's an old Soviet vehicle.
Nice.
Is there no engine in here?
I think it's there in the front. Well, I think this article's old, this one you found.
It's false advertising because they didn't make the engine block transparent. Because they can't, because of metallurgy.
Because
there
physics.
Is a new there is a new material.
It's because of woke. You guys aren't brave enough to say it, but I am. It's because of woke.
Thanks, Chris.
It's because
appreciate
of woke
that.
Physics.
There is a new material sciences advancement that I saw where these two engineering students held up like a plane of what looked like plexiglass in front of a presenter, and you could see like his legs through it, and then they turned it sideways and all you could see was the wall behind him. Because I guess it has like some kind of special crystal refracting pattern in the material.
A Fresnel lens.
You said it.
That's how you pronounce it.
Something like that.
Fresnel lens. That's a lens that is from Fresno, California.
As opposed to a Tucson lens. Yeah.
That's a lens that has a Fresenium.
Well, it's good to know that as the country and world is falling apart, they're still making cool new objects.
Transparent cars.
We're all about transparency here on Beauty Place.
And that's why we drive a car that looks like a original Game Boy Color.
That's right.
I want the purple one.
Where's my acidic purple car or whatever they call it.
That's right.
Every millennial's dream. Oh, did you see the tweet that was like, I'm living every Serbian's dream. I'm a truck driver in Chicago.
That's so based. I'm so... That plus Costco makes me so bullish on America.
It rocks. All right, well... That's where we're going to end it, I suppose. So if you're living a Serbian's dream, thank you so much for listening to this episode of BP Bledis in your truck in Chicago. You can listen to my other show, Work Stoppage, Bryn's other show, Generation Loss. Check out Todd's shop, Doomer.shop. Don't forget to support us on Patreon. And as always, we love you. Stay high. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't fly Boeing.
Don't fly Boeing.
Do not. We'll be right back.